Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we have gathered in this church because many of us in this room know that You are the risen Savior, that You are the God that is and that will be. And we gather today to celebrate on this Sunday like no other Sunday to remember that You're not dead and we don't have to be either. And that it is Your love, Lord, that You have given to us so that we might live and we might reign with You in heaven forever and ever and ever. Amen. How many of y'all glad to be alive? Anybody here glad to be alive today? Amen. Well, I want you to look, if you're here, we want to welcome you. Thanks for being here today. Because I want you to know that today I have the privilege and the honor, because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, to give to you the greatest message ever given to humanity. To give to you the greatest message ever given to humanity. Jesus is real. And you say, prove it. Look around. Look around. He's not there. He's not there. He is not in that grave. He is not in that grave. And guess where He is? Look around. Look around. He's in the smiling faces of little children that see the hope of life through a risen Lord. He's in the moments of the senior adults that say, you know what? No matter what, I'm going on. He's in the moments of when we're sick and feel hopeless. He tells us, get up and walk. See again. Have confidence that I am your God. It's either real or it's not. As C.S. Lewis said, He's either a savior or a lunatic. I believe, and many of you in this room believe, He is the Savior. In the Gospel of Luke, early on Sunday morning, the women, you girls know it would be the women. Well, where are these macho disciples? Well, I don't know if they're asleep, but they sure are hiding. One crucifixion was enough for them that weekend. And as they thought, am I next? Am I next? Is it my turn next? The women made their way to the tomb. The women, were they full of faith? No, but they wanted to do what was right. What drove them to the tomb was to do what was right. They carried the burial spices, so we know what they expected to find. The same thing that you and I expect to find sometimes. How many of you all have come to church expecting to find a dead Jesus? If there's one thing I can tell you today, He's not dead. He's not dead. And I want you to get that. He's not dead. 1960, they declared, and we in all of our wisdom declared, remember, out of some of our fine universities, God is dead. Some of y'all remember that headline. You had long hair back then. And God is dead. And you know what? God can't die. How many of y'all realize God can't die? I got to put it where we can understand it in Kentucky. Easter is declaring that God will not die. He will not stay confined to this reality. Isn't that, how many of y'all are glad to know that? God won't stay confined to your reality and to my reality. Well, don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know? There was some commotion early Sunday morning. Because you see, heaven had exempted the logic of earth. You know what the resurrection is? It is heaven exempting, overriding, vetoing what earth says must be. Nobody had ever seen anybody come back to life. He was supposed to be dead. We gave it our best shot. We even had the Romans help us. Surely nobody can conquer the Romans. By the way, what's in Rome today? Ruins. So what is in Rome today are pieces of what used to be. But what is in here today is the same living Jesus, the same eternal reality, the same forgiveness of sins that took the first step out of that tomb. And it's here today in spirit. Did y'all realize that? How many of y'all glad to know God's not scared of the Romans, nor the Americans, nor the Russians, nor the Palestinians? God's not frightened by the terrorists because God cannot be terrorized. He has a plan. He wants you to live. How many of y'all are glad of that? Now, I want to tell you something today. How many of you have been looking for a great life in the wrong place? Here's what I found I think I'm supposed to be at midlife now. I don't know how you determine that. I asked all my psychologist friends, I said, how do you know what section in life you're in when you don't know when you're going to die? You know, if you're going to die at 40, then your midlife's at 20. So I don't know where I am in the scale of life, but yet I do know where I am in the scale of life, because in Jesus we live forever. How many of y'all understand that? We live forever. So here's the way I figure it. Compared to an eternity, we're all just a bunch of teenagers. Amen? We are young and awaiting and living and full of life. Well, go with me to the Gospel of Luke. Jesus has been crucified. I want you to note, Jesus had to be crucified. He had to be crucified. Is everybody listening to me? Now, I want to tell you something, folks. Those of you who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know on this Easter day, the faith that you carry is under attack in the United States of America. You know why? It's a scary faith. Have you noticed how if you say anything about Jesus, they'll go crazy? An Islamic terrorist gets more PR in our nation than a follower of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because the Islamic terrorist wants to take you right where everybody else does, under their control. Now note this. Death will control you. Will you agree? Death will control you, and eternal life will release every possibility in you. There's the difference. God makes us possible. God takes us beyond what is impossible and creates the possible. That is the resurrection. Now, I don't know about y'all, but there's some things I want to draw out of the resurrection. This is a moment of great hope. How many of y'all are glad to know that there is real hope? There is real hope. Let's talk about hope and change. Let's really talk about hope and change. The greatest hope and change that I've ever seen is on this day. It is on this day. All hope was released and everything really changed on this day. Everything. See, hope and change does not come by manipulating the pieces on the chessboard. Hope and change comes by changing the reality of your destiny. And only who can do that? Tell me, church. Only Jesus can do that. Everything changed, especially for these ladies. Here they are, faithful, righteous women. Jesus is dead. And Nathan, they head to the tomb. That's not a grand tomb. Guess what kind of tomb it is? A tomb. And a borrowed one at that. Any of y'all kind of excited that Jesus rented a tomb? Have any of y'all ever found that kind of, you know, suspicious? I guarantee you, if I went over there to Kirby and I said, Kevin, what's the price on a 3-day rental? He'd go, Ayers, what are you talking about? You've lost your mind. And I'd have to say, now, Kirby, don't charge me too much. I only need it for 3 days. I don't need a vault because I'm not staying there that long. and I need you to leave the lid loose so I don't tear it up on the way out. Now, what would he do? He'd get on the phone and he'd say, "Sheriff, you know, they're crazy over there at Hillview Heights, but now it is confirmed. I want you to know that the message at that moment sounded just as ridiculous as what I just told you. That one would die and live again? Impossible." Back this week, I cruised through articles of people denying the possibility of the resurrection. They have become so smart and they know history. They don't know history. They weren't there. They know what they've read about and how it's been reinterpreted. Don't tell me you don't live in faith. Everything you're about is faith. You have to have faith that the book you read was true. Who said it was true? Who said the website you went to was written by anybody that had any sense? Everything we have is faith. But what are you going to put your faith in? There was enough faith in those women to lead them to the tomb. Now, what they found changed everything. In fact, they didn't go find the tomb. If you look at it real closely, the tomb found them. In fact, they didn't speak to the tomb. The tomb spoke to them. God is in charge. How many of y'all are glad to know that God is in charge? How many of y'all are glad to know that God will continue to be in charge? I don't know about you, but it juices me up this Easter to know that no matter what the controversy is, God will go beyond it. He'll work in it, and He'll go beyond it. I don't know about you, but I'm going to put my faith in Jesus Christ. Anybody else going to put their faith in Jesus Christ? I'm going to put my faith in Jesus Christ. You say, "Yeah, but I need something else." No, you don't. You need Jesus Christ. You need what? Does that mean I don't believe in government? No. It just means I know where government stands. Not for long. And how many of you put your faith, your absolute obedience, in "not for long"? See, I'll tell you, we don't know what is going to happen, and we don't even know what is. How many of you, now go ahead and confess, it's Easter, lost a little bit of money because you could never picture Butler playing in the championship game? See, you were so awed by the large university in Kentucky that you could not imagine some small Catholic school in Indiana, a mid-major, doing major things. Isn't that the way we do it? Come on, aren't we caught up in the frills and the bells? Now here's what's interesting. Jesus didn't have a lot of fanfare. Have you noticed that? Here's why He didn't have a lot of fanfare. When you're real, you don't have to have a stage. When you're forever, you don't have to call the TV cameras. When it's going to work, you don't have to doubt your situation. When you are the truth, you don't have to manipulate anyone. Isn't that great? And check this out. Jesus was coming out of the grave whether you voted for it or not. Can you imagine the Congress handling the resurrection? What a mess.
Well, Jesus can't come out on Sunday morning. We'll have people that are offended if He comes out on Sunday morning. But Jesus can't do this, and Jesus can't do that, and this group will be upset, and that group will be upset. I want to give you some good news. Jesus could have cared less who He upset. He did what God had called Him to be, the Savior of the world. As Jamie told us, He washed our feet. To realize that He would go to the most defiled part of our nature and clean us forever. Eric told us in the garden that the wrath and the result and the consequences of sin, He took to that bloody cross.
And on Friday night, guess what we all realized on Friday night as we came in here? There's not a one of us in this room without blood on our hands. See, that's what the church don't want to realize. See, this message, we don't like this gospel message. Now, a lot of y'all like these pop psychology preachers. You're like a TV preacher. TV preacher just smile and tell you you're going to be blessed and you're going to prosper. You're going to get a better home and your vegetable garden's going to grow better this spring. Jesus didn't raise from that. I'm going to be a gospel preacher till I die. See, you and I got a very bad problem. We got blood on our hands. Even if you're dressed up, you got blood on your hands. Even if you've made it up, you still got what? Blood on your hands. And you can't buy it out. You can't rub it off. It won't come off. Guess what? The blood and the stain, that crimson stain of sin, can only be removed by the work of the cross of Jesus Christ. And by the way, in case any of y'all are reading any of these clowns, Jesus didn't go to the cross so that he could connect with the victimization of the world. That's your salvation. And by the way, I just want to let some of you young folks know, nothing I'm hearing today, I heard it all in the 70s. And many of you all heard it in the 70s because you wrote the articles. And you were going to change all the poor people and clothe all the naked. And it was going to be a better place. Well, let me help you. The equation's in. We failed miserably. So I realize there's more poor people now than there were before we started helping them. You know why? We know how to create poverty. We know how to create misery. We know how to glorify ourselves. But I tell you what we don't know how to do is get up out of the dead. But I got good news today. Best message I know. I know a Jesus that'll get you up out of the dead. He'll wake the dead in you and bring you to a life. Let me tell you some great words here in Scripture. They got to the tomb. Go with me to Luke chapter 24. You see, the resurrection speaks to today. It still speaks to today. What do you have your faith in? What do you have your faith in? How many of y'all believe Jesus can change everything in your reality? How many of y'all glad to know you're going to die and go to heaven? Anybody glad about that today? Anybody glad about that today? I am going to stomp and shout just a little bit today. I'm glad to know that when our body shuts down, our spirit lives on forever and ever with Jesus. Now that's for those who are in Christ. Some of you go, well, I disagree with that. I think if you're a good person, you're going to go to heaven. Well, you're going to be good in hell. You can go down there and be polite. You can look at the devil and say, hey, I don't want to offend you. And guess what he'll say? Good, because I want to kill you. See, I don't think we understand the intensity of this message. For far too long, we tried to make the church a moral code, a behavior modification institution. That's not what the church is. The church is the place that has been risen from death into eternal life forever and ever. That's a whole different world that you and I get to live in, the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the power and the possibility and in the reality of God. They went to the tomb. Now, where were they going? They were going to a place of death to find what? How many of y'all do that? Come on. How many of y'all did something this week you knew wouldn't work, but you was going to try it one more time? How many of y'all say, if I just do this one more time, I'm going to feel better? You did it and you didn't feel better. How many of y'all got habits you know are killing you and you still won't let them go? How many of y'all found that we have a tendency to lean into dead things? Anybody got that problem? I hope you didn't marry a dead thing. But it can happen. Somebody doesn't want to live. How many of y'all found that people that don't want to live want to make sure you don't either? They're like life vampires. They walk around going, wait a minute, there's someone full of life. Here go the women toward the tomb. They're looking at death, and they find life. It's kind of ironic, it's kind of paradoxical of how this comes together. When you will look at your death, you will finally find your life. What did Jesus say? Before you can live, you got to what? You got to die. You got to die. He didn't say you got to be nice. It said you got to what? You got to realize, wait a minute, I got something that's killing me. It's called sin. How many of y'all got some sin that's killing you?
Come on, I do. Or I used to.
You know what God does? He disconnects us from death.
Pretty neat, isn't it?
I don't know about you, but I wouldn't follow Jesus if he didn't get up again. You know, if Jesus wasn't risen from the grave, pick your religion. They're all about the same. You know, be nice to people. Don't shoot people on purpose. You know, hand out some food to some hungry people. Make sure people that get in trouble feel like they can be better. Don't yell and holler loudly at others, unless it's a ball game. You know, just be a nice person. That's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is though and yet and because we were sinners, Jesus Christ died on the cross and has risen from the grave, that we can be brought to an eternal life. It's much deeper than what we can see. You see, the women saw a respectful death where God had created a forever resurrection. It's interesting what he does. They get there at the tomb. And when they get there, they found the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. Anybody glad about that? They did not find the body of what?
Jesus.
Now watch. Now some scholars say, well, his followers stole it. First of all, let me give you some really interesting information. Ladies, please do not hurt me. This was a long time ago. Things have changed. Back in this ancient society, women had no value to give testimony. The word of a woman could not verify reality. Who's going to the tomb? If you were going to make up the story, who would you have put there? You'd have got you some officials. You'd have got you some credibility. But God knew greater than humanity. Why did God send the women to the tomb? Anybody know? He knew they'd go and tell.
Come on.
Right. You're right.
Fastest form of communication, a group of women. There is no computer in America that can reach the communication speed of a group of women. True? Watch this, women. It's interesting. A little deeper. It's interesting to me that the life carriers showed up first in the midst of the life giver. Those who carry human life were there before those who so boldly followed Jesus. When they got there, his body wasn't there. Have any of y'all excited about that? When they got there, his body wasn't there. You know, I'm excited about that. Let me tell you what, in a real literal way, you know, one day people are going to go over and say, there's his grave. I'm not there. I mean, when I go to that old graveyard, I'm not there. Don't waste your money on flowers. Buy something you like. Because you're going to give it to your grandkids too. So make sure they like it too. I'm not there. My body's not there. I'm not there. What I was is not there. You know why I follow Jesus? They're not going to stick me in the ground and tell me it's over. At the moment of my last breath, I'm resurrected in the glory of God. That's the message of the Bible. It's the message of Jesus. His body's not there. Did I tell y'all he's not there? Now, if you got there, how many of you all would just be blown away that he's not there? You go to see Jesus and he's not there. You know why he wasn't there? Looking in the wrong place. Some of y'all keep looking in death, and that's why you can never find life. There will never be another human being that can bring you to life. How many of y'all wasted a few hours on that?
Go ahead and fess up. I've heard some of you. I know I've done it. How many of y'all have ever said this? Well, if my wife or my husband would just do this, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. How many of y'all have tried to find another person to make you happy? I used to think having a new vehicle would make you happy. You're talking about putting you into a deep depression. You get a new vehicle, they're fun for 3 weeks. Because what happens on week number four? Y'all have done it too. You know what I figured out? I wasn't addicted to new vehicles. I was addicted to new car scent. So for 99 cents, I stop by the minute mark when I want to trade, just blow a little bit in my truck, take a snort, and I'm cured. I was trying to get something that was dead to bring me to what? Because I wasn't buying a car, I was buying an image. You know? I always had to buy something. Any of y'all had to buy something? Thought you was going to be happy buying something. What'd you find out? You got an attic and a huge yard sale coming. Because we were looking for death to find what? Life. Well, they got there early in the morning. The tomb, his body's not here. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Now, don't tell me God doesn't have a little drama. God could have sent some cool, just calm angels, couldn't he? These dudes are gleaming. Why? God changed everything. You know why they're gleaming? God changed what? Everything. Why on this Sunday morning is it a little different than all other Sunday mornings? Because we're celebrating the epicenter of God's grace. And you ought to gleam a little more. Without this, we don't get to go on. Does that make sense? Without this, we don't get to live. Without this, nothing changes. And he goes on and he tells them. He's gleaming like lightning. And he stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? Why? Church, as we celebrate this Easter, and as we stand in a moment of history, the problems are complicated and complex. There's 1,000 ideas. There's 400 blogs. There's 4 million tweets. There's all kinds of information stirring in our culture. But we must make the decision to not look for the living among the dead. You want to hear some great words of Scripture? How many of y'all found that great words aren't very long? Most great words, great phrases aren't very long. Here's a great one in the Bible. You ready? I love this one. He's not here. He's not here. Why do you look for the living among the who? He's not what? Come on, church. He's not what? He's not what?
Here.
How many of y'all found that out? You stepped into some things in your life and all of a sudden the two angels showed up gleaming and they went, hey. He's not here. He's there. And he's drawing you to be what? There. How many of y'all glad to know you can live today? How many of y'all glad to know you can live forever today? Now, this message ought to upset you. It's a big change. Here's the problem with Jesus. He does do what he promises. He's not human. I'm so disappointed in people. Why do we get so upset when we find humans that don't keep promises? You don't keep them. I don't keep them. Why do you get mad at everybody else around you that doesn't keep them? How many of you all have kept all the promises you made in life? Yeah. I'll show you the difference between humanity and God. We have a good idea, and God has an eternal reality. We have a moment of thought, and God has a truth that keeps marching on. We fear death, and God says, let's go on. We say we want to stay here, and Jesus says, I'm not here. I'm with you forever and ever. So I want to challenge you this Easter morning. Let's get up out of death, and let's start living
in the life that Jesus has given all of us. Now, guess what those women did? Guess what they did? Y'all take a guess. Come on, work with me. I mean, if y'all want to go to a sit and stare church, that's down the road. This is interactive church here, huh? What? They told everybody. Now, let me ask you a question. Why don't we tell everybody? I have a theory on this. I don't think we've heard the angels yet. Can you imagine those girls? Mary, 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 Mary. Had about 25 Marys show up there. Maybe it was a Mary cult. I don't know. But you know what? I guarantee you those girls went down the road, and I guarantee you they weren't going like this. Let's keep this to ourselves. Let's go and create a He's Not Here shrine. Let's write a book. 40 days of He Is Not Here. Let's do something. Let's get some videos out on empty tomb possibilities. You know what they did? They went and said, wait a minute. He's not there. He's not there. The angels of heaven have told us that He's not there. He did not stay dead. He did what He said He was going to do. He's alive! He's alive! You know what the church needs? A He is alive movement. We need a He is alive movement. He's alive. He's not a theory. He's not a philosophy. He's not a religion. He's not a book. He's not a movie. He's not to be marketed. He's not to be rented. He's the Savior of the world. And He's alive. And He will love and save and change anybody. So if you'd like some real hope, I'd say connect to the hope of heaven. If you'd like some real change, I'd say let Jesus change you from a sinful being to a righteous one. Amen? If you would like some new possibilities, how's this? How many of you need a little bit of forever connected to your temporary situation? You say, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I'm going to go broke. Maybe so, but it won't last for long. How many of y'all realize on this earth, I can be broke and be rich at the same time? I'm going to tell you this. I'd rather have the hope of heaven than all the money in the world. Because guess what's going to happen to all the money in the world? You're going to die. And without Jesus, when they put you in the box, guess what they're going to tell you without Jesus? You're still there. But with Jesus, guess what they get to say about you? There, not here. There with the one who lives forever. Amen. Happy Easter. Oh, really deeper than that. Forever Easter. Live it, church. So let's stand together and we're going to look at God's possibilities this morning. Man, I'm glad you came today. By the way, why on this Sunday do we have suits and ties on like no other Sunday? This, Mama said, is one of the reasons. And another reason is this. It's the greatest message on earth. Now today, you know what I know? Not everybody in here is connected to that message. Now, instead of panicking, why don't you receive Jesus? You know, the only people that really get offended when I preach are those who aren't saved. You know why? They get mad because they say, well, what about me? And I can do this and I can do that. Let me tell you, whatever we do doesn't last long. Why does that bother you? Can I ask you a question? How can you not see that with just observation of life? Every building we've built crumbles. Every technology we create becomes obsolete. Every car we drive eventually becomes a used one. There's only one thing that'll keep us new, His name is who?
Jesus.
Today, I don't know of a greater day than for you to step forward and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I believe you're not in that grave. I believe you're the Son of God, and I believe you're alive. And Lord, I want you to come to my life because I want to be connected to the hope of heaven forever. That's a great day. I think Jesus would really kind of be excited about that on Easter. The day he got up, you got up too. Amen. And he'll help you up and take you on. Amen. He'll help you up and take you on to heaven. That's the message. I'm sorry I don't have a more sophisticated message than that. That's the message. That Jesus Christ, God in flesh, went to a cross, died for our sins, and on this beautiful morning got up and no longer lives in death, but gives life to all who will receive it. So today, if God's drawing you and you feel something, you know something, you sense something, and God's saying, you know what, I want to come into your life and I want to forgive you of your sin and I want to show you the possibilities that you have, you know what I would do? I'd receive that. If you've received that, guess what? You can be baptized. If you haven't done that yet, I'm going to encourage you to do that. Maybe this morning, how many of y'all need to come and really your prayer as a believer needs to be, I need to go and tell. Here's what I know. How many of you all would say probably there's some things in the world that are a little rough today? Has anybody come to that conclusion? Or let me ask you a question. Some of you 60 hippies. Have we reached the age of Aquarius yet? I know we've been going there since 61. We believe if everybody has a sandwich, an ice cream cone, and has the same kind of car, eventually we can start singing that song together. This is the age. Remember that? And we'll fly away in our magical balloon and it'll be a wonderful world. You can get elected on that lie. Only problem with it is this. You don't deal with this truth. You and I are sinners. And without Jesus Christ, we don't carry a hope. Without Jesus Christ, we don't have forever. And without Jesus Christ, we never leave death. But in Christ, our sins are forgiven, our life is remade, and our forever is possible. Who wins? Jesus. Let him win in you today. Amen. Hey, will y'all go live this out? By the way, they'll be at the minute mark today. Guess what they need to know? Yeah, he's not there. They'll be at the movie today. Guess what they need to know? Duke fans think the world is in order again. By the way, I hope Butler beats them, don't you? I'm praying that way. Just so I can tell all my Duke fans. Ha! Y'all can't beat a small private school. And you rigged the clock on the big public school. Y'all remember that? That's true. That's why Kentucky wasn't there, because Duke cheated. But you know what? You know what? I'll tell you something, it's great. You ready? Nobody has to die in this house. Come receive Jesus today, man. Happy Easter. Live forever. Be forgiven. Live this life. And I really want you to listen. Yo, I gotta praise God. I gotta give you some props, man. Thank you for going out and telling the community that, hey, there are churches that would love to have them here. There's some guests here today because you went and just prayed over their house and said, hey, give Jesus a look. For those who are guests today, I hope you come back next week. We're open next Sunday, by the way. And the Sunday after that, and the Sunday after that, and the Sunday after that. In fact, we won't close till you hear the trumpet. Now, if y'all hear a real loud trumpet, you'll see a sign outside, and it'll say this, we're done. And we're going on up to heaven, and we're going to eat fried chicken, steaks, chocolate cake, ice cream. We're going to have six packs with never a sit-up again. Ladies, you get to choose your dress size. Whatever you try on fits, it looks beautiful. That right there will save 100 ladies today, right there. I'm telling you. It's the real life. Come join it. Amen. Pray with me, Lord. Thank you. Jesus, I'm glad you're real. Gosh, I'm glad you're so real. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful choir that just lifted up that song, It's Your Love, because it is. And Jesus, I'm glad you're not in the grave. I'm glad you're in our reality. So Lord, we pray right now. Pray with me, pastors, right now in your spirit. Pray with me that whoever is in this room that does not know Jesus, that right now the Holy Spirit would draw them to this altar to receive the Jesus that is risen forever and ever. So if you need to come and receive Christ, or come and just pray, or come and give him thanks, or come and ask for healing on this high and holy day, come on and let Jesus touch you. Church, this altar is open, and it continues to be open. Salvation is available in Jesus. New life forever and ever. My friends, listen, do not leave this place without knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, believers. Don't stand without him today. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.